Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we are in a series on the greatest commandment, and there is no greater subject in the Word of God than the thing that Jesus identified as the most important commandment, the most important thing to his heart, the greatest commandment. I'm going to read it real quick, and then we'll jump in. Matthew 22, verse 36 and 37, Jesus was asked, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law?" And he replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." This morning's session and this morning's message, I've entitled Adoring Trust. And I loved Robbie's choice of songs this morning. We adore you, Lord. We adore you. I love that. It was just for me. The Lord, like, you're on track. We got you this morning. Even if your kid spills water on the notes, you'll be fine. I want to talk a minute about both of those words. I want to look at what we mean when we say adore and what we mean when we say trust. Just give you a couple of, you know, dictionary definitions because it helps kind of get you in the mood. To adore, to be emotionally devoted to something or someone, to love and deeply respect, to adore, this devoted emotional investment, to adore. To trust, the firm belief in the reliability, in the truth, in the ability, and in the strength of someone or something. So this idea of trust is belief that the one that we're trusting in is reliable, that it's not a leg on a table that's going to break. That it's a trustworthy person to lean on, the firm belief in the reliability, but not just that they're reliable, that they're true, and that they're able. You know, something about reliable that's important isn't just that they are well-intending, but that they actually can pull off what they say they're going to do. You know, there's something about trust. You ever been in one of those situations where you trusted somebody, and man, they tried real hard, but they totally failed you? It's like a bummer. It's a real bummer. But this idea, this trust, that the one that we're trusting in is reliable, is true, is able, and that we're trusting that they'll come through for us. Now, putting these two things together, an adoring, an emotional investment, an emotional connection, a deep respect, a deep love for the one that we're trusting, a posture of trust that isn't like we got forced into it or we're doing it out of obedience, a trust that's rooted in an adoring love. It's very different. It's very different. I don't have an adoring love for a lot of things that I'm having to trust in. I think about, I'm trusting that the American dollar holds up. I'm trusting, but I don't have an adoring love for the American dollar, but I'm trusting that that doesn't go away. I mean, if any of you have any money in the bank, you are also trusting that doesn't go away anytime soon. But this idea that we would have this adoring trust towards the Lord, and we want to be a people that learn how to trust him with adoring eyes, not just a begrudged obedience, not just because we're supposed to, but that we would trust him with adoring eyes, that when we're trusting, and the whole point of trusting, the whole thought process behind it is most of the time when we're in that trusting, we're in the uh-oh moment still. We're in that hopeful, but not yet. We're in the waiting. That's what trusting is. You're either trusting or you trusted. That was part of the reason I wanted to do that for our ministry time today, is get us kind of working the muscle a little bit. This concept of trusting, we want to be those that are in the waiting while we're still waiting to see God move. We're trusting him, but not with this like, oh, I hope he's really who he says he is. I hope it happens. But with these adoring eyes, that we would have an adoring trust for Jesus where trust abounds. There's freedom. There's joy. There's peace in all of our interactions. And one of the things about trust is it's very powerful, because where trust is working in our relationships, just think about the loved ones that we have, that we have a very deep trust in our relationship with them. There's a lot of safety there. You feel comfortable. You feel like you can be yourself. There's a lot of safety there. When you don't feel trust around people, you are guarded. You are reserved. You're very careful with your words. Like there's two very different postures related to trust. So trust is powerful. It is so powerful. We want to have that kind of trust in God. Now, let me tell you how this relates to the greatest commandment. Why would I stick a session on trust in here related to the greatest commandment? I don't know that there's too many better ways to say I love you than to trust him when you don't see it yet. I don't know that there's too many ways to be able to express the greatest commandment, to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, strength, and trust. To be able to love him in a trusting way and go, you haven't done it yet. This situation looks really bad, but I trust you. I believe you really are who you say you are. That is just a delight to his heart. And I think it's a significant part, actually, of the greatest commandment, that we would learn how to trust him even when we're in the not yet situation. It's a real battle line of our affections. Just, I want you to think about this now with the definitions I just gave you of a door and of trust, and think about how this works now in relationship, in our relationship with God. Think about how this plays out. It's a powerful commodity when it's in play, and it's a real ache when it's not. I wrote a phrase or two I want to read. When we express trust towards him, it's a show of our affections to him. But when we do not show trust, it's a withholding of our love. Just think about that. When we express trust, it's a way we can actually show our love for him. And when we don't, when we withhold it, it's not like he's mad, but we are totally missing out on an opportunity to love him. And not only that, when you just deal with the whole relational dynamic of love and of trust, God wants us to love him. God wants us to trust him. And when we don't trust him, it's like an owie. You know, it's like that. He's like totally worthy of that trust, and we're withholding it because of whatever human reason. It's not on him. Whatever reason we're not trusting, it has nothing to do with him. It's all us. It's all our weakness. It's all our doubts, our fears, our issues. But man, he loves it when we trust him. It is a beautiful thing. I want to say it this way, though. This is where it gets really intense. I think it's impossible for us to do the greatest commandment without trust. I think it's impossible. And this is a little bit different angle because, you know, we've been talking about love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've been looking at the different ways that that can be shown and felt. But I just want to tell us, if we're doing all the other things, but we don't trust God for real, I don't think we can actually express love in any sort of full sense. The way that the author of Hebrews wrote it, you guys know the verse, but it's a trust issue. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith, trust. I mean, you could use those two interchangeably. Without trusting God, it's impossible to please God. How could you possibly please him if you're not trusting him? If you're not trusting that he is who he says he is, he'll do what he says he'll do. You know, his character is good, right, and true. I mean, if you're not trusting him, how can we possibly please him? Man, when I started to see this one in light of the greatest commandment, I was like, dang, if we don't have trust in him, we are limiting in a significant way our expression of the greatest commandment. And remember, Jesus said, it's the greatest commandment. The greatest, if it really is the greatest commandment, it's probably going to touch every area of life and get kind of annoying. If it's really the greatest commandment, the most important thing on his mind, then it's probably going to infiltrate everything, and it does. And it infiltrates this issue of trust, because without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God has to believe that he actually exists and that he rewards those that earnestly seek him. That's the whole point of trust, is you're trusting that there really is a God on the other end of this conversation, that there really is a God in heaven. He really is a God of the Bible. And that when we trust him, it's an expression of love. Trusting him with our lives and our hopes and our future and our jobs and our decisions, it's tough. I don't want to make it sound like it's easy. But it's an expression of love every time. God, I trust you with this thing that I really don't want to trust you with. You are saying, God, you are real. God, you are big. Your character is what your Bible says it is. You are true. You are good. You are declaring all these things about who he is. That's love. That's an expression of love. When faith is most precious is actually when you are the most cornered. When things are the most difficult, when it's the ugliest, when it's the hardest to believe. I don't mean being in those situations is good in itself, because I've been in a lot of those situations. I don't like them. I mean when you're in those situations and you choose love, you choose trust. You're in the situation, you go, I'm backed up against the wall. I just want you to think about the Israelites. Pretend that they did it right when they were cornered up against the Red Sea. Man, I'm just like, that is the most cornered you can be. You got an army coming at you, and behind you is Wawa. Lots and lots of Wawa. Okay? That's Riker's word for water, if you didn't catch that. So behind you is the Red Sea. In front of you is an army, and the army's coming, and they're pointing sticks. They are ready to get you. And you're backed up against a sea. You're like, what are we going to do today? Surely we die. But in that moment, just pretend that they'd have done it right. And they'd have been like, we trust the living God to take care of us. Whether he's going to deal with that thing in front of us or that thing behind us, or all of us get wings today and we just fly away. We trust the living God. When you are the most cornered, your expression of trust, and I want to say your expression of love, is actually the strongest it could ever be. You want to be looking at those moments where you're the most cornered as the opportunity to lift up the absolute greatest offering imaginable to Jesus. Trust. Trusting him. When love is given, it's a precious privilege. Just think about in our relationships. We'll bring that back to the Lord in a minute. But just think about in our relationships when love is given. It's the deep waters of the human soul. I mean, there is nothing deeper in us than when we decide, I'm going to give my love to this person. Whether it's a spouse or a relationship that we're hoping becomes a spouse, or it's a deep friendship, or it's a brother or a sister, like, you know, bloodline, or your mom or your dad, or a brother and sister in the body of Christ. When we've got those relationships where we're going, I love this person. I'll go on the line, I'll tell people. I love this person. It is precious, and it is deep waters in the soul. I don't know that there's anything that goes deeper than the love that people have for people or for the Lord. I mean, that love is deep, and it's beautiful. It's costly, and it puts us in a very vulnerable position. It's one of the reasons that a lot of people refuse to open themselves up and love anybody is because they're like, I don't like being that vulnerable. I don't like putting myself in a position where someone can hurt me that deep, because love is so deep that if I give deep love, then I'm vulnerable to get struck deep. I'm vulnerable to get hit and hurt deeply. If I just keep it surface, well, then I can deal with whatever surface owies I get. But if it goes deep and somebody wounds me deep, oh, and there's a fear that we all have to face and overcome. Because love requires trust. We're trusting that when we love somebody, that when we entrust our heart to another person, we entrust our love, our affections to another person, we're trusting that they're going to treat that love as precious and not stomp on it. We are trusting. It's a vulnerable place. We're trusting that when we love someone, they won't abuse that trust. That when we give them our heart, that they'll be careful with it. And that's why probably 75% of any song you'll ever hear on any radio is about love betrayed. You know, love that didn't work. Oh, this is so great. Love song. And then the next album is the, and they broke my heart song. It's like, dang, it's just, the whole subject of love is one that we're caught up in. And it's the thought of love scorned is more than our hearts can bear. I mean, we cry when we hear of people's stories of love scorned. It breaks our heart because we're like, oh, that's just so wrong. It causes us to get mad at people we've never met. You ever have that? Somebody talks about, and they broke my heart, and you're all of a sudden, you're just mad at that person. You don't even know what they look like. They could be better than you. They probably are. And we're so mad at them because something in our hearts just aches. It's unthinkable that love could be betrayed, that love could be scorned. It just, rejected love. It's just this terrible thing, this terrible thought. The love that we're hoping for in our relationships, in stories, in a movie, the love that we're hoping for is a love that's real, that's sincere, that's steady, that's trustworthy. That's what we're hoping for. Song of Solomon 8:7, I think, gives a pretty good picture of what we really want all love to look like when it's aimed at us. Now, sometimes we're a little stingy in how we give it, but apart from our hypocrisy, how we want everyone to love us, how we want everybody to receive, you know, our love is like this. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. We want a kind of love. We want to engage and invest and be a part of a kind of love that's strong and steady, that doesn't get messed with, that can't be taken out, that rivers can come against that thing and it just stands against the current. You know, we want that kind of a love. And here's the good news. It's been offered to us. It has been offered to us. A strong love that we can trust has been offered to us. Put up that next verse, a couple of verses there out of Hebrews and then out of Psalm 66. A love that we can count on. Hebrews 13:5, God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. It's a love that's unshakable. It's a love that we can trust in. See, there's that connection. It's not just a love that comes and goes. It's a love that's steady, trustworthy, that we can bank on it. And that's what we want. That's all we want. I mean, we want a love that we can bank on, that we can know is not going anywhere. It is stable and steadfast. Psalm 66, verse 20, praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer and he has not withheld his love from me. We want one who is willing to give love and give love and give love and give love and never withhold it. He says, I'm into this. He says, I won't reject you and I won't withhold my love from you. You can trust in my love. But here's the thing. It's a two-way street. He wants us to invest trusted love back into him. Now, his love for us and his not going anywhere in that relationship, it is steadfast. It is stable and secure. But do you know that as an emotional being, God wants that same love and trust from you? He wants it. It's a two-way road, and it's painful because as God gives his love to us, he wants us to freely give our love and our trust back to him. One of the ways that we see this reciprocating love is through the subject of trust, as we've been talking about. I want to read you guys Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It's a verse you totally know real well. But I want us to be thinking about this idea of lean not as an expression of our love back to him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. See, heart, love, trust, there it is, this connection. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust him with your heart. Trust him with your emotions. Trust him with your feelings. Trust him with all of your heart. And here's how you do it. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, in all of your days and life and decisions, in all of your ways, submit to him. And he will make your path straight. He promises he's trustworthy to make your path straight if you stop trying to lean on your own ways and instead you trust his ways are better than yours. If instead you trust that as God, he's smarter than you. That as the one who's infinite and wise, he's put the plan together better than your plan for you. Better than your decisions for you. Trust him. Trust him with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. It's an expression of love every single time. This submission to him. This submission to his smartness. Submission to his godness. To his bigness. To his betterness. It's a submission to him. And every time we do it, it's an expression of our trusted love, our adoring love to him. Trust not only with all your ways, but trust his ways. Isaiah 55, verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. It's not just don't trust in your own ways, but definitely trust in his. His ways are higher. I want us to think about the supremacy of his ways for a minute, okay? He's infinitely higher than everything he created. Amen? He's always right about everything, every time. Never once has he been wrong. Not once. I mean, that's a really good track record for somebody you're trying to trust in. He makes the rules with perfect wisdom. He calls the shots, and that's actually better. He defines what is right and wrong, and his assessment is true. He's supreme. He's better. No wonder he says, trust in my ways. It's not him trying to lord it over us. He's like, listen, I'm really a lot smarter than you. I made your brain. And I did a good thing when I made your brain, but I didn't make your brain my brain. My brain is much bigger. I'm smarter. Trust my ways. Don't trust your ways. Don't lean in your own understanding. Don't think you're smarter, bigger, better. Don't think your plans are better. Trust my ways. This thing will go so much better for you because I'm a lot smarter than you. I'm a lot bigger. I'm a lot brighter. And I'm playing 10-dimensional chess and you're still trying to figure out what the pieces do. I am so much bigger. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And if we'll trust him, it will just go so much better for us. But it's more than just trust. Let's rejoice. It's a good deal. He is not trying to corner us with his request again and again. Trust me with this area of your life. The word says, don't do this thing your flesh really wants to do. Don't do it. Trust me. My way's better. I promise you. I know your flesh thinks this is a good idea. You're wrong. You're little. You're in kindergarten. like God made everything. He's so much wiser. Trust in the Lord. He says the reason again and again that he calls us to trust his ways and not our own is actually that he has our good in mind. Look at Psalm 33:21. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. We trust in his holy name. You could change name to holy ways, holy commands, holy purposes, holy plans, holy personality. We trust in the fact that he's holy, holy, holy. He is smarter, better, wiser, brighter. And we rejoice in it. Here's why our hearts can rejoice. See, there it is again, the hearts, the love factor, the trusting in the Lord, this connection of love and trust. Here's how we can trust. He's got my good in mind. There's times where my kids are trying to do something, and I'm like, listen, I promise you, if you'll just let me do it my way, your day will go so much better. I am trying to give you a really great day here, and you're messing it up over something dumb. Why are you fighting me? This is foolishness. I've got your good in mind. I'm trying to give you the candy. I'm trying to unwrap it as we speak. Chill out. He's got our good in mind way better than we do as parents for our kids or any friend that we've ever had that's had our good in mind. This is why we can rejoice. It's not just that we trust in his supremacy, we rejoice in it. It's really, really good. I am in the hands of the smartest, best person ever. His ways are so much better and higher. I can totally trust someone like that. I can rejoice and I can praise him for it. We want to be a people that are regularly in the routine of praising God for his ways, even the ways we don't understand, even the things that we don't yet appreciate, because when we've got 20/20 vision on the situation, we'll look back on it and go, yeah, that was actually way better than my plan. That was so much smarter. I was going to do it this way, and with all my efforts and all my energy and all my strategizing, I was going to get a 1 on the test, and you got me 100. Oh, yeah, that's a big spread. His ways are just so much better. So we want to praise him for him. You want to be thinking, I'll just give you a great, greatest commandment, sort of a nugget for you this morning. When you're in times of worship, whether here or at the prayer room or in your car listening to a CD, if you're in a time of worship, I want to encourage you, start thinking about things that are yet unresolved, the problems, and praise him for them. And go, God, I know you will see me through this. I trust you in this. I don't know how this is going to look yet. Friday, I didn't know if my dad was going to come out of that surgery alive. But I was trusting him. I was going, okay, God, I give him to you. He's yours. It's not like I can go do the surgery. So Lord, he's yours. In those moments when you're in worship, you've already found yourself worshiping, contextualize it. Why are you worshiping him? Praise him for the fact that he is able to see you through that situation. It is a beautiful expression of love when we trust him with our days, our future, our ways, our decisions. It's a beautiful expression. Well, I'm going to give us some practical tips today on how to do this, on how to carry ourselves with trust. Okay, if we can use that term trust and love, or rather a love that trusts, we can think of things in that way. We want to then carry ourselves with trust as our normal MO. Not trust as the kind of thing that we touch every now and then, but where we live a lives where we carry ourselves mostly trusting God, where it's a rarity that we're not trusting Him, as opposed to a rarity that we are. Here's some ways to carry ourselves. Stop fighting Him for the love of all good things. I love you. You're not that smart. Your ways are not better than His. There are some of you in this room that you know what God wants to do, and you are totally not on board with it. Why? You've convinced yourself you're smarter. You're not smarter. He is so much smarter, and He's got your good in mind. I just want to say it this way. Stop fighting Him. Stop fighting Him. The sooner you give in, the better you can get on with your life. Give in and get on. Stop fighting Him. I just put this verse in there. It's in Acts 5, 38 through 39. If their purpose or their activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You'll only find yourselves fighting against God. May we never find ourselves fighting against God. And we need to take that down a notch and not make it about the church in Jerusalem about to get destroyed. Okay, that's the context here. We need to take it down a notch and go, I'm going to actually thwart the plans of God for my life because I'm fighting Him, because I'm in disagreement that what He says is good for my life. I don't like that plan. Stop fighting Him. We need to be a people who don't fight Him. And you want to think about that one and go, I never really pictured it that way. I just thought we were in a subtle disagreement. I didn't realize I was fighting God. I was just kind of ignoring some of his ideas. No, you're ignoring His direction for your life. He's trying to help you. Don't fight Him. Next, we need to call His plans good. I'll just say this. The sooner you can look at a plan that you are convinced is bad and call it good when you know it's God, the better it is for you. I mean, you just look at it like, that thing is just horrible. That's just the worst idea ever, God. The sooner you can get over yourself and go, it's a good plan. I don't particularly like it, but it's a good plan. The sooner you can call His plan good, the better. Psalm 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and faithful in all He does. There is stuff in your life that He wants to do. Things and people He wants you to minister to. Places He wants you to go. Directions He's got for life and for ministry and for your family. His ways are better. He's faithful in all He does. Call His plan good even when you don't agree with it. I was in one of those situations here recently, and I found myself, even at, you know, having been walking with the Lord for a while, I found myself in a situation where He was talking to me about something that He wanted to do, and I was like, I'm really not in agreement with that idea. I really don't like that plan of yours. But I knew well enough that I was in this situation, and I was like, just lose fast. If you ever find yourself in an arm wrestling match, just lay the arm down limp noodle, all right? Just go limp, all right? And I was like, I don't know, I don't like it, but okay, you're smarter, you're better. The sooner you can call His plan good, the better it is for you. I want you to be thinking about that because there are things in your life now and things in the coming weeks and months, and who knows what craziness awaits us in the rest of 2021 and 2022 and 2020 whatever. Lots more craziness awaits us. We want to be looking at His plans and quickly identify them as good. This is how we carry ourselves in trust. Next point, we need to recognize He is working for our good in that moment. It's not just that He's smarter, but He's actually trying to help us. We want to recognize it. It's Romans. You put up that verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, yes, the thing you're mad about, all things, all of them, all the things. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. So as long as you love Him, you're set. If you don't love Him, you got more problems. I mean, you might be having an issue train coming. But it's the Word says He is working for the good of those who love Him. And you want to get on board with that quickly. You want to recognize in the situation, God is actually looking out for my good. And then here's what happens. Instead of, the situation changes drastically when we engage trust. Here's what trust versus not trust looks like in the exact same situation. And I want to pick on a situation you don't like, not one that you're on board with. That takes less trust. Let's talk about the one you really don't want, the one you really don't like. Trust versus not trust. Not trust. You complain. You're kept up about it. You're trying to subvert. You're trying to come up with other ways. You're going to wind up getting hand slaps, and you're going to trip and fall in ditches. You're going to wind up all this stuff in the same exact situation. Or you can trust him. And as soon as you trust him now, instead of complaining, you're praising. Instead of in pitfalls, you're actually experiencing some of the minor blessings along the way, because the Lord does that. The Lord doesn't just save all of it for the end. There's little blessings along the journey, but you'll miss those blessings if you're not looking for them, if you're totally complaining and trying to get off the path he's got you on. The difference between trusting him and not trusting him in the exact same situation is life or death. I don't mean heaven or hell. I just mean walking around being a giant mope versus being filled with a giant hope. It was there. I couldn't help myself. The difference between engaging him in trust or not engaging him, it's really simple. It's, are you going to live with the greatest commandment in mind? Are you going to live with your heart engaged in faith and in love? Or are you going to wind up actually in opposition to his purposes? And lastly, we need to live thankful. Job 13:15. Some of you guys know this verse. You probably found it in your worst season ever. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. And I'm telling you, that is a gold mine of revelation, of joy, of peace, of stability. Though he slay me, though he did bad to me, or what I perceived as bad is really what it comes down to. Though he did things in a way that I was like, that was just dirty. That was wrong. We're going to have to talk about that later. But even though I don't understand it yet, though you slay me, yet I will hope in you. I will praise you. I will trust you. We need to be thankful. We need to live thankful, even in the midst of the ache and the waiting. And here's how we'll end today. The frequent opportunity for the greatest commandment of love. The greatest commandment love, the greatest great commandment love is the love expressed when you don't feel like it. I mean, there are times where someone will serve me, will help me, will bless me, will love me, and it's from a place of their weakness, their ache, their hurt. Maybe they're not even in agreement. And it's like, man, that is just the most beautiful thing. As opposed to all our best friends smiling at us when everybody's having a good day. I'm grateful for those too, but man, the gift offered with a sacrifice, with an ache, man, that's a beautiful thing. I want to tell you, you have an opportunity to express the greatest commandment every time there's a trust issue. Every time there's a faith issue, every time there's an ouchie in your life, every time there's a situation that is not yet fulfilled, every time there's a point of confusion in your life, you have the opportunity to give Jesus the biggest, greatest commandment offering imaginable. Because when you're all in a good mood and everything's working and you lift him a song of praise, it is beautiful, it's valuable, but nothing touches his heart. Like when you have faith in your praise. It's impossible to please God without faith. Think about when you praise and it's easy. Think about when you praise and it was tough. It took faith to praise. It's a beautiful offering. This subject of adoring trust, we want to be a people that we're going through life, and when situations happen, and they happen, right? Am I the only one that has bad things happen to him, right? There's stuff that happens, and it's like, dang it, how did that sneak in there? We were doing so good. When bad things happen, you just got to go, Lord, I'm going to turn this situation into a conversation with you. I'm not going to let life happen to me. I'm going to let life happen with we. We're going to do life together, me and God. The thing happens, the thing breaks, the thing crashes, the thing whatevers. God, I trust you with this. I know you see this. I know you're working for the good of those who love you. And I want to remind you, I love you. So don't you be forgetting me right now, because I need you to break through. He works for the good of those who love him. We have the opportunity every day when we get our toes stomped on by people or circumstances to trust God and to love him and to adore him. I just want to go back to that title, adoring trust, not begrudged. Adoring. You are incredible. You are wise. You're on your throne. You see me. You're beautiful. You know me. You like me. And you're working for my good right now. And I trust you. You will see me through this. And it's going to be awesome in just a minute. And so in a minute, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I just don't see it with my eyes today.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.